Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, sending this one out to my man Killer B. No doubt, indeed. With that weed, you know what I'm saying? That old real shit. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You could run, but you can't hide forever from these streets that we done took. You walking with your head down, scared to look. You shook, cause ain't no such things as halfway crooks. They never around when the beef cooks. In my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam. Now we all grown up and old and beyond the cops' control. They better have the riot gear ready, trying to back me and get rock steady. By the Mac one double, I touch you and leave you with not much to go home with. My skin is thick, cause I'll be up in the mix of action. If I'm not at home, puffin' live, relaxing. New York got a nigga depressed, so I wear a slug proof underneath my guest. God bless my soul before I put my foot down and begin to stroll into the drama I built. And all I'm finished beef, you will soon be killed. Put us together, it's like mixing vodka and milk. I'm going out blasting, taking my enemies with me. And if not, they scar, so they will never forget me. Lord, forgive me, the Hennessy got me not knowing how to act. I'm falling and I can't turn back. Or maybe it's the words from my man Killer Black that I can't say, so what's left of untold fact. Until my death, my goal's to stay alive. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive.
Yo, we live in this till the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive.
To get dope, you know when the dough get low, the juice go. But never that, as long as things smoke crack, I'll be on the block hustling, counting my stacks. No doubt, watching my back and proceed with caution. 5-0 lurking, no time to get lost in. The system niggas using fake names to get out quick. My brother did it and got back with 2 ounces. I live with one with squads, hit the block hard. That's my man Twin when he got back to fuck me up, God. But shit happens for a reason. You find out who's the true keepers when you're upstate bleeding. You can't find a shorty, the truth, you bid with you. Hit with a 2-4 is difficult. While on the streets, I try to maintain. Tight grip, my Lucas hoes like to run game. Some niggas like to trick, but I ain't with that trick and shit. I'm like a Jew, saving those who I could pick with. Pushing a Lex, now I'm set, ready to jet. No matter how much loot I get, I'm staying in the projects forever. Thanks on the blocks, we out clever. And beef, we never separate, grow together. When words come to words, my peoples come first. Try to react and get the motherfucker feeling served. My crew's all about blue, fuck looking cute. I'm strictly tip boots and army certified suits. Puffin' nails, lay back, enjoy the smell. In the bridge, getting down, it ain't hard to tell. You better realize
we live for this till the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive.
We still live
for this
till
the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive.
We still live
for this till the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive.
We still live
for this till the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive.
We still live for this till the
day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive. We still live for this. But when your eyes get wild, look alive. What's up? Hypnotic style's life, get that ass paralyzed. Know what I'm saying? Mob Deep and all that.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I'm your host, Big C, along with my cohort, L Diggity Dog. What's going on, L?
What's up, fam? How you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling excellent, man. Feeling excellent, man. Happy to be back on the air with you for another exciting week. We got 2 weeks of action to get all packed into one show, man. I'm excited, man. I want to apologize to those who tried to tune in last week. You weren't here due to some technical difficulties. We try to make sure that those things don't happen. They're very few and far between. So apologies to everyone. Tune in today. Tell your friends to tune in, call in, whatever. A lot of things, man, to talk about. A lot of things here. We got the NBA Finals. Looks like they're about to kind of kick off June 4th for sure. I don't know if Houston's going to be able to come back or not, but it's looking like Golden State and Cleveland. We got some things going on with our Tigers. It's a little bit of mediocre play. A lot of happenings with OTAs in the NFL. And we're going to delve a little bit into the fantasy life, a little bit into that fantasy football this week. So We got an exciting show. I'm excited to be here. L is excited to be here. 2 weeks of action compact in one show. And we're going to take it back to last week a little bit, L, and go a little bit in your department. Young Babcock, man. I know you're a Red Wings fan to the core. Babcock, out of here. Your feelings.
Well, first of all, let me say this about Babcock. You know, we had 10 great years with this man. We got a cup. Should have been 2 or 3 cups, to be honest with you. Honestly, 3. Because, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, well, that's besides the point. Because one of them we should have won on my birthday. Remember, we was downtown. It was game 7. They lost to the Penguins. That was on June 15th. It pissed me off. But anyway, I digress. You know what I'm saying? It's a bittersweet. You know what I'm saying? One, you got a guy that's an excellent leader that, you know, a lot of people that respect and say was one of, if not the best coach in the NHL. Proven winner, commodity, grew up and, you know, went through the ranks. Hell of a coach. And then another thing is you had a lot of veterans that didn't want to play with him and come to here to play for him because he was a ball buster. You know what I'm saying? He was stuck in his old stubborn ways, the old NHL. They don't realize the new NHL needs people to come here. And that was one of the rumors out there, that nobody wanted to actually come and play for a guy like this. You know, first they thought it was the Detroit market, but no, Red Wings' name sell itself. And they said it was the coach. So he's not right now with Toronto. Big ups to him on much success over in Toronto. Thing is, now he went from a team that, you know, gave him mad love to Toronto's our bitter enemy. You know, so everybody knows that. The Red Wings and Toronto hate each other from way back when. You know, so, and that's another country as well. But that's where he's from. He's going to be a hero there. When he comes, I'll really cheer him on for the first game only. After that, he gets booed. You know what I'm saying? Ridiculed, stuff thrown at him, you know, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this is me being a Detroit fan. So, you know, that's all I got to say about the guy. I'm glad he was here. Thank you for everything you've given to us as a team, organization, everything else. You put a nice foundation in. We got a lot of young talent. And see you.
Yeah, I'm going to say right now I'm a novice when it comes to the hockey game. But it looks like that they definitely made an offer that he kind of, you know, couldn't refuse. He's the highest paid coach in the NHL, basically history.
He's making NFL coach money right now.
So, that's tough to turn down. Like you said, that is his home. He wanted to make it clear that it was his decision, not his wife's decision or anything. He said that, I guess, earlier in his career that he would coach here until his daughter graduated from high school, and she did that this past year. And like you said, it's been 10 good years. I think he was frustrated a little bit with the age of the roster, even though we do have some young guys, some young talented guys. The nucleus is still kind of an aging nucleus a little bit. Toronto is definitely going to be a struggle for him. He goes from, like you said, a team that's been making the playoffs perennially. He won a cup, should have won two cup appearances. So a very good coach, and he's going back to his hometown with a bunch of money in his pocket. His home country. I wish him the best. It's kind of like a Sioux situation. I mean, Red Wings did what they could, allowed him to go out and shop his services, if you will, offered him a contract that would have made him one of the highest paid coaches, if not the highest paid coach, at I think $4 or $5 million a year, but it was only for 4 years. You know, I think it was beneficial for both situations. Now going forward, is where we have to look at possibly the change happening and how it's going to impact this team going forward. I know there's been a lot of talk about the only guy's name I really heard so far is the gentleman who's the head coach at the Grand Rapids Griffins, the affiliate to the Red Wings in the AHL, the minor league hockey. He served 1 year under Babcock as an assistant. He's coached, I think, 4 years at Grand Rapids. He's coached a lot of the young talent that you speak of as they've come up through the ranks.
At Grand Rapids, level 2. So, he's a hot name out there.
He's one of the few, if only names that I've heard out there. But going forward, do you think that they would be able to find a coach, maybe not the same caliber as Babcock, but maybe someone, you know, who's an up-and-comer or someone who can at least have experience? I know there was one, I think, on a assistant from Tampa Bay that formerly coached under Babcock. If I'm saying his name has kind of surfaced a little bit, escapes me right now, but as being a possible replacement for Babcock. Is there any guys that you think of, you know, to come to mind that can be a suitable replacement for him and possibly takes his team to the next level?
It's only one, and you've already heard his name. It's a gentleman, like you just said, right now we have Grand Rapids, he's taking our name as well. I'm sorry, I apologize about that. But he's proven. He says he would love to be here. He's the next sexiness. You know what I'm saying? You know how everybody hasn't had that next sexy thing? That's him. He's won a championship. He's all the young talent that we have here is here. People that really want to come and play for him because, you know, he's, like they say, it was a feeder system. So a lot of people that have good players now that's in the league, free agency coming up, you know, they vocally admitted that they don't mind coming back here now to play for this guy. I think he's the next thing. He's a sure fit for us. Now, he's a rookie, but he's not. He's a rookie coach, but he's not a rookie coach. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, he has a lot of experience as far as, you know, coaching. And even though it's an affiliate of us level, but he has won a championship there. And that's telling you something. And he submitted us a lot of young talent as well. He's good at forming young talent, bringing it in, and he's a good adjustment as well. My thing is this: with this, what do we do now? Because now this is like the changing of the guards. We always talk about how we have a lot of old players on this team, and we have infused with a lot of young talent. But like Gapsu, and you know people like that, I think we need to see if we can get any trade value for him. If we can, let him go. If not, we need to start building to become younger. Our second and third line needs to be a stronger line in our rotation. You know what I'm saying? We have to make sure we get something like that going on a consistent basis with the Red Wings because we need to get younger, more bigger, and more powerful players, faster skaters now. You know what I'm saying? Like the Pavel Datsyuk, right now they're kind of old. They're long. They're the bottom of the, you know, they got a couple more years, and that's it. So I think right now we need to adapt to the way the league is being played right now. You know, the puck possession and everything else, everybody crashing the net and getting a lot of rebound shots on the net. That's what beat us, you know what I'm saying? And that's why we need to start adapting to that form of play. And we need to establish at least two real goons, as they call them. We need two cats out there that do nothing but just scrap. We're getting tired of getting pushed around and punked out there as well and moved off that damn blue line.
Well, let's wrap it on up with the Red Wings, man. They're still searching for a coach. Blash Hill is a guy from Grand Rapids who's possibly the leading candidate. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about our Tigers, man, who I've been saying for a long time I was going to wait to the 40-game mark. Looks like we're at 48.
Mm-hmm.
We're a contender, man. I'm going to say a contender. I'm going to hold out faith, and I know I'm a fan. But we have some issues. The pitching, starting. We got injury to Verlander. Who has been okay to do a rehab start. They said he may do, if his first rehab start goes well, he may do a second rehab start before he's activated. So that could be a positive for him. Inconsistency with Sanchez, who's really let me down. I had high expectations for him. Green as well from time to time. And sometimes Price as well. He's doing okay, but he's had some moments where he's been inconsistent. And then we already know the bullpen is pretty much nothing. I'm worried about some injuries to V-Mart. Verlander, if we can get him back, and if we can make a move or two in the bullpen, that'll really, really solidify the team. But I like where we are offensively, and I like where we are defensively on the Tigers. So I'm going to say contender right now, but we definitely have some cracks that we need to get plastered on up. Go ahead, sir.
They're contenders. Here's the thing. I jump off the deep end about our Tigers because I am a fan. Fans are short for fanatical. We all know that. The thing is, I was talking to somebody, and they told me, sit back and look at our division. We have the best division in baseball right now as far as not amongst each other, amongst what we do when we play other divisions. You know what I'm saying? We're superior over other divisions when we play them. You know, the Kansas City Royals lost today, but the Minnesota Twins won. You know what I'm saying? So we... And I believe the Cleveland Indians won 12-1, something like that. So we have a competitive division, and we have a lot of injuries. Right now, we are riding the mark of a lot of injuries, and if we can stay 500 through these injuries, and then we get to other people in a few weeks, and dominant, we could be a dominant team later on down the hall. So I'm gonna stop jumping on their heads right now, this is a game right here. Today they won 3-2. They should have lost. No starting pitching. Their pitcher that went to go visit his dad because he's ailing, about to pass away. They had somebody called up for AAA to come. He didn't make the flight. So they had to go to their bullpen to start the game off. You know what I'm saying? And then my man finally made it to the arena to start the fourth inning to come and lead us away. And we still won 3-2. Even though it's Oakland A's, it's a team that's the worst team, you know, in baseball right now, record-wise, but I still tell you something. That's great. That's a game we could have easily lost, and we won. So I'm going to stay off for a little while. After, you know, our edges get better, we'll see where we are from there.
Now, what do you think about, briefly, about so far, Brad Ausmus said some of his management decisions? There's been some questions about sometimes some decisions he's made in terms of pulling guys from games that possibly have lost us a game or two. What do you think about his decision-making? Do you have confidence that he can get it done here? If not, what would you say your confidence level is in him as a manager?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I believe do we still have our manager from last year in the office right now? He's still part of the organization, correct?
Office was the manager last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, for 2 years ago, Skip. You know what I'm saying? I believe he's still behind the scenes working right now. I say that because of this, okay? Austin has a lot of questionable decisions that he's made. He's cost us about 4 games this year, okay, which we know we can't have because in our division, we won last year by like 2, the year before that by 1. So we can't have a manager costing us games in key situations. His confidence level, I'm not going to knock it right now. What I'm going to do say is this. He needs to reach out to some of the other management, you know, just to get himself built back, you know, to find out. Stop going by, you know, what the numbers say he should do as far as pitch counts and all this other stuff. Start going by a gut feeling of what he needs to do. You know, because that's the problem I have with him right now. His confidence, I don't think he'd be shot because as a manager, you have to be arrogant. And once your confidence breaks, you lose the team, and then you're out of a job. And he knows with a team and talent around him like this, it's World Series or, you know, get the hell out of here. He made the playoffs last year, and people still want to run his ass out of town because he didn't excel farther in the playoffs. So that's the type of pressure he has. He can't crack underneath that. So I'm thinking right now he has to have confidence for himself, and I think the rest of the people around him, knowing that he's such a young coach, will help bring him up and build him up as well. Because if he does that, we're gone.
I think that he's been solid so far. We have to understand that he has not. That was his first managing job last year. You know what I mean? As a head coach, and we have to give him a little bit of, you know, time and space to kind of make his own decisions, bad or good. You know, but with that being said, I think he did a good job. He's going to have some growing pains. He's going to have some mistakes. Sometimes you got to, you know, kind of work your kink out the kink. But I think he's doing a solid job so far. And like I said, I think that, like you said, to kind of reiterate what you said, injuries right now are playing a huge part with us. We're not getting any consistent production from B-Mart right now, yet our offense is doing pretty good. We're leading the league in steals, which was amazing, because a couple of years ago we didn't run the ball at all. We didn't run the bases at all. We're striking out a little bit more and bouncing to double plays, but the team still has a lot of promise. To say that you're only really getting 2 solid, consistent starting pitching efforts out of your starters and you have a shaky bullpen to be 27 or 28 and 20 right now, you're doing pretty good because you got a lot to get better at. But let's keep it moving, man. Let's talk about a little bit. Your confidence level before we leave. Your confidence level in him. How do you? Think he can get the job done, or you're still a little shaky on him?
I mean, I believe he can get the job. I believe he can get the job done only because he has veterans around him that's going to help him get that job done. You see what I'm saying? I think that's what's going to make him be what's going to help him excel, because of the veteran leadership around him. That's going to be, it's, you know, that's going to make sure he excels.
Okay, well, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about the NBA, man. We got the Rockets and the Warriors banging from Game 5 tonight. They're banging to play opposite of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who swept your boys, Atlanta, yesterday, 4-0. We talked about off-camera, off the radio, about LeBron and debated him and this and that, and I don't want to get into that. But Cavaliers, as you see it, right? First, before we go to them, they dispatched your Atlanta boys. Did you overrate the Atlanta boys, or what was their problem, man? Because they got dispatched.
I'm going to say like this, man. Here's the problem, man. Atlanta, man, y'all cats, man. Y'all got to play more passion. I'm going to tell you like that. You know what I'm saying? Your balls were in the wrong spot, man. Y'all should be ashamed to play yourself an NBA team. You mean, that's a highlight video floating around here. My man ducking out of the way when LeBron James going to the hole. This mother starts to move out the way, like ran 10 feet out the way so he could dunk. He would get dunked on. That's unacceptable on every level. And Atlanta, I had a lot of faith in you, a lot of courage in you and everything else, but I'm going to tell you right there, y'all was a waste of damn time. You know what I'm saying? Did y'all even attempt to put up any effort? You know, that was a damn shame. It was effortless play the last two games. I understand you have some key injuries. You know what I'm saying? But damn, can you at least pitch the bitch? Damn, y'all, what was wrong with y'all? I mean, really, that's the point. That right there pisses me off when you get lackluster effort because
keep it a little bit cleaner, man. Keep it a little bit cleaner.
I mean, cool, but dang, come on, Atlanta. I'm good.
So with that being said, let's talk about
I overrated them.
Talk about
my fault. I overrated them. Never again.
Okay, that's okay, man. It's all right. You're not going to rub your face in it or nothing because, you know, I thought they were a solid team as well. They had the best team and best record in the East. Number one seed, beat a tough Washington team, you know. Devoid of stars, had a bad call that went against them with the Horford deal. And that ultimately, I don't think that's what lost the series. I think it was over anyway. I don't think they were going to win maybe more than one, possibly two games. But they just weren't ready. They, you know, talking about a team that wasn't in the playoffs, I don't believe, last year. Wasn't really, you know, a contender. And to go to 60-plus wins, hey, I'll take it. Conference finals, I'll take it for sure. But, you know, LeBron is looking driven, man. I know some folks don't like him. He's looking driven. He's got a decent team around him. Not a great team.
Stop. I gotta stop you right here. Don't say he doesn't have a great team around him. He has more talent around him right now than he had at Miami. You know what I'm saying? Let me explain something to you. They had three out of four first round picks out of that lottery ball thing, which I know personally, you know personally, we ain't gotta say skeptically, personally that thing was rigged, because we knew this was gonna happen later on down the line. We both know that thing was rigged. So I'm going to tell you like this. The talent that he has accumulated around him is top-notch talent. A few games, LeBron didn't even put up, like, a few points. Just a few points, like 15 points and a couple rebounds. The rest of the team dominated for him, man. He has a good team around him.
He has a good team around him, not great. He just beat a team, and you can say what you want to say. But the truth of the matter is, one of the key pieces is out. Kyrie Irving, the second key piece, was hobbled and missed two games. He just defeated the number one seed that started three if you count your boy getting hurt, three all-stars in four of the games. Who was LeBron with? Mm-hmm. Iman Shumpert, and you talking about the team is so good, all you know is they had a bunch of number one picks. A couple of those picks ain't even there no more, and Tristan Thompson is the other pick, and he's never been an all-star. So before we say he got a great team around him, who does he have around him? Love is not there. Kyrie is beat up. J.R. Smith was just thrown away by the New York Knicks, who had one of the worst records in the league, Shumpert and Miles Garth. I'm not saying they garbage. I'm saying they decent players, but I'm going to give LeBron his due. And this is what a lot of folks, I think, have a hard time doing. He's making those cats around him a lot better because he can drive to the hole and take three or four people with him. He's able to find these guys open to knock down shots. That's how he's able to average almost a triple-double in the last series. He's doing more than just scoring. He's looking. He's facilitating the offense. He's playing key defense. He's doing some things out there, man. He's balling. And it ain't just because he's so big. He's out shooting them from time to time, even though he's not a great shooter. I have more athleticism than them, better court vision, better decision-making, better passing. His passing is really what's been the most impressive thing to me about this run. But I'm going to get off the high horse. I do think if Golden State gets there, it's going to be a tough series. I need Kyrie to get some help, I mean some rest, and get that knee. But it's going to be a bang. It's seven games. But right now, if those guys get some rest and Kyrie is out there 85% or better, I'm going to go Cleveland in seven. That's early. We still got next week to talk about it, but just today, I'm thinking Cleveland.
Yeah, so he told him. The commissioner did tell him, man, I got y'all. Don't worry about it. Y'all going to get a championship for us all said and done. He did say that, you know what I'm saying? So guess what? I guess he got them before it's all said and done. They're really going to have a championship.
Well, let's talk about this. The Pistons, in other unchampionship-like news, the Pistons have the eighth pick in the lottery in the upcoming draft. A number of needs, possibly shooting guard, possibly a three. You always want a three. The reality is that we may not have Greg Monroe playing the four anymore.
Right.
Who are some prospects that you might look at?
This is what I look at. I think who should be there is Miles Turner, power forward center from Texas. You know what I'm saying? He's somebody that, you know, very athletic, you know what I'm saying, go to the half, rebound. Say it again? Okay, cool. I thought you said so. You know, post up, do everything you need to do. Another guy I was looking at is if he's going to be there, is Mario Azanja from Spain. You know what I'm saying? He's a shooting guard or a shooting four. He's a three. You know, so always can play that guy. He's a tweener right now. You know what I'm saying? Shoot the lights out the ball. Now, I know it's, you know, somebody from another country. Here we go with that again. The boy Darko, please, no. But right now, they need, you know what I'm saying, they need to be able to have that versatility to change and move people around different positions. If he's not there, Monroe, first of all, we're in trouble if he's not there because I'm hoping they sign him back. If not, I would like to get somebody, you know, that I know can get down there and bang. Because we need to have a Twin Towers like the Spurs had. You know, when they had Duncan and Robinson. We need to develop something like that. Build from there, work your way out.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, I hear you on the Twin Towers thing, but the NBA is kind of changing. And when we invested in Van Gundy, man, we kind of switched kind of our philosophy.
Okay.
He's more of a guy to have, you know, one guy possibly on the inside, surround him with three or four shooters. He imposes the stretch four philosophy a lot of times. That's why I think he hasn't been able to really maximize what he can do with Monroe and Drummond. I wish we could combine those guys because Monroe has the offensive game, the footwork, and Drummond has the athleticism, the explosiveness, the length. But, you know, he may go elsewhere. Monroe may go elsewhere. He's an unrestricted free agent. Hearing whispers that he may go over to Washington or somewhere else. But anyhow, if he's not there, that opens, I think, the options up a lot for a couple of different guys. Like you said, the center from Texas. Also, possibly, Willie Cauley-Stein from Kentucky is another guy who can give him another big guy who can protect the basket, can defend against the pick and roll, but he's very limited offensively. The Mario Hazanja guy that you spoke of. I like what they're saying about him, but again, he's a guy who's from Croatia who's playing in Spain. They say he would be a high-level college player if he was in college. He's 20 years old, 6'7". I need him to be a little bit heavier. 6'7", 200 pounds, he's a little light. You know,
yeah,
but
he is.
I would like to see him and see what he can do because they talk a lot about him. They say he's really, really driven, like a Kobe Bryant driven. Not skill, but driven like he has a real attitude about himself, the ego about himself. But I also like Justice Winslow, who really came on during the tournament from Duke, a big guy, 6'6", 240, in that LeBron-type mode, only 19 years old, a freshman, who had great dribbling ability, can get to the basket, can play great defense. He just needed to improve his three-point shot. I think he shot like 20% during the regular season, ended up shooting like 35, 40% during the tournament. Stanley Johnson, small forward, Arizona. And Frank the Tank, man, I think is a viable option for us. I know some people don't like him. So I'm taking a guy from Wisconsin, but an ideal stretch four. He's 7 feet, 250 pounds. You have Drummond who's going to play in the post and who's going to really need to learn how to play offensively with his back to the basket. If he ever learns to face up, that would be good. But he can learn to play with his back to the basket. And you have Kaminsky, who's a guy who can play face up or can come off screens and shoot or can play a little bit with his back to the basket and have a strong mid-range game. He can handle the ball. He can pull up from the mid-range. He's kind of a very poor man. Doesn't have the range or the purity of him, but a very poor man's Dirk Nowitzki with a little bit more size and a little bit more grit than Dirk had when he came into the league. Not the range, not the purity and shooter, but a guy who can play that four, sometimes in that five position and be a matchup nightmare because this guy is 7 feet tall. So he's a possibility as well. I don't know where they may go, but I tell you what, we need somebody who I would love. If we can get somebody who could average, who could start and average 13 or 18 points would be great. If we can get a guy who's running on the conversion.
You ask for a lot when you say that like that.
That would be great. But if we can just get somebody who can come in and give us an efficient 15 points, man. Come in, shoot 45, 46, 48% from the field, 35, 37% from three, 75% from the lane, from the free throw line, solid defender, finish on the break. Somebody who can do something, man. We need a talent infusion, man. We just missing that guy. And some of our straight guys are off the walk right on out the door because I think
And when you said that, I was looking at something else. When you said that, I was looking at some picks that they can go in the second round as well. You know what I'm saying? Just in case he does leave and they try to go somewhere else to fill the gap. You got a Syracuse center, Rakeem Christian. You know what I'm saying? 6'10", big man, to finish at the rim, solid rebounder. Kansas Powell. You got a Kentucky guard, Andrew Harrison. You know what I'm saying? That's somebody from Kentucky, you know, your favorite team, one of your favorite teams. You know what I'm saying? That can get down, you know what I'm saying? You got a small forward, Alexander Vazinsko, I can't say his name, 19-year-old European player. I understand he's a 19-year-old, but he's a small forward. That's your three you was talking about that we could pick up in the second round. I might be there. And, you know, like I said, you got a couple of people that, you know, that they can go if he leaves. You know what I'm saying? We can address some of the issue because it seems like this draft right here, not saying it's tapped with a lot of talent, but you can pick up a lot of need in this draft right here in the second round.
Well, like I said, man, we definitely need an influx of talent on this team because we are – I'm not going to say we suck because that's strong, that's hard. I'm not going to say that, but we've been down so long, and it's like we have – I think in the East, man, we have 35 to 40 win talent. I've been saying that same number for the last 4 or 5 years, and I know that those numbers generally can get you to the 7th or 8th playoff spot, and we have yet to do it. And I just don't understand why. We started off 5-23, last year, and then at the end of the season, they kind of, you know, well, I'm sorry, not the end of the season, the middle of the season, they kind of get it together.
We got rid of Jackson,
winning basketball, and then we had the Jennings injury, and then trade for Jackson, and then it went downhill from there. So two losing streaks of 10-plus games, man, will doom you every time. I don't care what team it is and what game it is and what season it is. You lose 10 games or more in a row twice in an 80-game season, you're in trouble.
Right.
You're in trouble.
I mean, well, like I said, we got the coaching staff now to do it. I mean, and we got the players right now to get us going. So I believe, you know, like I said, we should be able to make get a couple of key components, make a few adaptions, and get in there. I believe this year they have a chance to make the playoffs. I told you, give Sengali 1 year to get his team, to get everything together, make some moves. He made a couple of surprise moves, a couple of players, you know, he wasn't taking the Bulls, and, you know, he got rid of them, got them playing in a winning way. And next year, just look out. We should make some noise in the playoffs this year.
Man, you know how many years we've said that now, Elliot? It's been about.
But we have a good coach now. We have a coach that's doing his thing, man. I guarantee you we'll make the playoffs this year coming up. We'll bet a six-pack on it. But then
I will wait. I will hold judgment. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to hold judgment on this bet until I see what type of moves are made, and then we'll get together with Arnett, and then we'll make another bet. But I'm going to definitely keep that in mind.
But
I don't know, man.
To pay up on his bets.
No. You know, he likes to get involved with bets as well. That's what I'm saying. He might say something. Remember, he bet us we actually lost that one. That was 2 years ago when we said that they were going to have a better record than Cleveland without LeBron.
Yeah.
Hey,
win some, you lose some.
Well, let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving. There's a lot of topics I want to talk about. It's the off season, but really, this is the on season, man. Because for those of you who, you know, like to stay abreast of what's going on with your teams, man, these are where championships are generally built and won in the summertime. Got OTAs kicking out all across the country. I'm starting to get a little excited. The journalists starting to burn. The Lions started their OTAs this week. A couple good things, a couple newsworthy things. Steven Tellett was a full participant on day one. He didn't participate, he's ahead of schedule. Adrian Waddle did not participate in team drills, but he is running and cutting right now with his knee. So, you know, he suffered the ACL injury. I don't know if he's going to be ready for the beginning of camp or not, but he's progressing. The OTAs kick off, man. We got a whole new squad. You know, pretty much at this point, there's only going to be minor tweaks, which, you know, some of those tweaks could be key, but it's only going to be minor tweaks to the roster. Kind of what you see is what you get, man. We got the OTAs kicking off, and then we're going to go to the, you know, the preseason, whatever. Give me a couple things, man, a big five, if you say them quickly, that you're going to be looking for the Lions, man. What five things you're going to be looking at to see?
Oh, okay.
If they're
one,
or what?
The continuity of that offensive line play. You know, we hit around a lot of injuries, and then we talked about that. Last year, last season was an injury field season as far as the lines. They had to makeshift, shuffle around a lot of lines. That's why I say the draft, I didn't like it at first, but then the trade we made, I kind of fell in love with it because not only we picked up a guard, we picked up another guard and we made that trade with Denver, even though he played here before, but he can move around. He can move, give us the flexibility to move other people to center, move other people to tackle, you know what I'm saying? So he's like a six offensive lineman or seven offensive lineman that we can have. Which is very important for us. Next thing, the running back battle back there. I want to see what Amir Abdullah can do. This guy, I watched his highlight film. I was totally against him at first. I wanted Tevin Coleman, who I think is going to start and do great things in fantasy and for the Atlanta Falcons this year. Just want to put that out there. But I'm going to tell you, Amir Abdullah, if he can take over that running back position, and the guy at 196, he's really 205. I think he can carry the load. I think he's one of those lightning-in-the-bottle players I'm looking forward to seeing. Another thing, I want to see our tight end play. I got to see if this boy is worth what we played for him last year, the first draft pick. You know what I'm saying? I've already heard in day two of OTAs, he's got to drop seats again. They're talking about he you know, he's running his routes. Everything looks better for him. But he cannot seem to hold on to the damn ball. So that's something I want to see. Is he a bust? The defensive line play is another thing. Anada, the other picks we picked up. And then that battle back there. Our cornerback from Texas, they said he can't practice right now. I don't know why. Because they say he has to graduate from class first or do something like that. They say he couldn't take certain things. I don't know what that is. But I got to see what he does as far as that's another position that's very important for us on defense. Is that corner slash safety play? Because I think he's going to get in there and eventually take over, or you know, be a major contributor for us.
Okay. We have a lot of the same things that we're going to look at. O line play definitely is important. They definitely try to strengthen the middle of that line. We talked about the guard that we picked up, and Manny Ramirez, who can play guard and center in the trade. You got Warford. You got Swanson, so we've you know, put some resources there. Hopefully they can pay off for us. Like you said, the running game. Abdullah, interested to see what he can do. I'm just hoping that he can be enough of a change of pace back that he can keep Troy Bell healthy. I think Bell is still going to be the workhorse, if you will, the goal line back also. And it's going to be really key to see if Abdullah can not only hold up to the banging of the NFL, but hold on to the football. You know, he had the 21 fumbles in college, and that's going to be key. I don't know if they're going to trust him that much, but he's going to have to earn that trust, I should say, on holding on to that football. Another position, the D-line, who's going to bring the pressure? Is Ansar ready to step up? Somebody said that he may have double-digit sacks this season. He comes into his third year with 15.5. Career sacks, had 8 his first year, 7.5 last year. Can he produce without Sue? How much does Nada have left in the tank? You know what I'm saying? Is he still a dominant force, or is he on the decline? 31 years old, had the performance-enhancing drug thing for a 4-game suspension. You know, hope he's not over the hill. I like our linebackers, the secondary. The safeties, I think, are going to be okay. Quinn and Ihedebo, who showed up for OTA, I think they're going to be okay.
I wonder why.
Well, y'all keep saying that, man. But, you know, I'm not going to debate it, but I think he just wanted to come back, man, and be part of the team. I mean, if you're not going to give me a raise, then I might as well just come here and do what I got to do. Don't be a bad teammate. Try to win. And then get on out of here next year. It's a business. If I look good, you look good. He got that money that he got from him because Baltimore made the playoffs.
Well, that's the case. If that's his mentality, I got nothing but love for him because you got too many people dying and selfish cats out here in the NFL, you know, teams that just don't give a damn about their team. That's how my man is really doing right now. I got mad respect for him. And you know what? I'll be behind his back 100%.
I don't think that's selfish at all, man, because at that point, it's more than love involved, it's money involved, and it's a livelihood involved. And, you know, we've seen numerous times where they felt that you've underperformed to your contract and they just release you, you know, or ask you to take a pay cut. If someone overperforms, you know, you expect to be compensated. He's a little older. He ain't made a bunch of money. You know what I'm saying? He's coming into his prime now, you know. I say throw him a bone. Give him a couple hundred thousand, $500,000. You know, throw him, and it's just good faith. Because you got to realize, man, you know, we're talking about him, but other teams, other players are looking at how they deal with him, and they're saying, you know what, when it's my time, how they going to deal with me? Or I didn't like the way that went down. You know what I'm saying? Right. So you got to look at those kind of things. But a couple things I want to look at. I said the O-line, the D-line, who's going to bring the pressure? The cornerbacks, you touched on it. We're trying to just kind of throw different type guys at it. I like Mathis, even though I think he can be upgraded. Slay, supposed to be really, really coming on as a big-time corner. But we got the guy who you guys keep saying going to play safety. I like him at corner because I think Harbaugh likes big corners. You look at Sherman, he was a big corner who ran a 4.55 or something. I think Caldwell likes big corners. I know Harbaugh likes big corners too. I think Harbaugh likes big corners as well.
Everybody, that's that Michigan love he got.
Caldwell.
You know what I'm saying?
Caldwell.
You can't get on them. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And he's a big guy, man. You know, he gives us some size out there. But they also got the little brother, Quentin Jammer, Quadre Diggs, who I think is going to be a scrappy guy. Doesn't have great measurables, but the guy was always around the ball, had 43 breakups in college, and 11 interceptions. So he plays the ball well. Watch that guy. And then you got the two guys coming back from last year, Bentley and Lawson, the kind of smaller slot guys. See what they can do. Those kinds of guys are kind of, you know, what are expected to be the answer at the cornerback spot. So the back seven, I feel okay about them. I don't know about the front four, though. So I'm definitely checking for those guys in the front four. Let me ask you this, man. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. And this is going to probably be the last time we talk about it until we get a decision on DeflateGate. But Brady filed his appeal, and we saw Kraft drop whatever he was going to do against the NFL, and he just took the penalty. Do you think that there's some type of backroom deals out here for Brady?
You know what it is.
I'm going to say it like this, dude.
You know, Crocker, Crocker, my man, they've been cool for a long time. They've been known to go out and party together and everything else. They didn't want to ruin their friendship with this right here. So he told them, look, all right, I'll take this penalty, whatever. You know, I think it's some bullshit, but, you know, I'll take the penalty. But next year, not this year coming up, but the year after that, give me a bone. Help me do something. Give me a draft. Do something. Let me work something out. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened. You know, there's always a back alley deal somewhere down the line. You know, we just ain't gonna hear about it right away. But damn it, yeah, you know what's went out there.
I don't think so, man. I'm gonna be naive on this one, and you know, I'm gonna say that Mr. Kraft, basically, a couple things I think happened. You said that, you know, that's just definitely his boy, but at the same time, for the most part, Goodell is all these guys, boys, because these guys are making all type of money under Goodell. That's why he ain't went nowhere, and nobody's talking about firing him from the inside, because he is making record money for these owners. I think Kraft saw that and said, you know what, this is my guy. Second of all, it's not just me I'm going against. I'm going against the league. I'm going against 31 other teams who may feel differently or who do feel differently about this whole situation. They may feel cheated. You know what I'm saying? So they like, hey, Roger, throw the book at them. You know what I mean? And,
yeah,
you know.
Because you know what? You're known for cheating, and that's what's going on. The Patriots are known for that. Stretching the rule book, or they're known for it. That's one thing they are known for, Carl. You know, I understand everybody. You love Brady. You love the Patriots and everything else. But this team is known for stretching the rules to its limit and then beyond some. And then straight up, if they don't get caught, just straight up breaking the rules. So, you know, I think it's everybody, like you said, everybody's getting frustrated and tired of them getting away with it because it seems like they always seem to. And it's like, you're absolutely right. Hey, we all putting our money into this pot, throw the book at them. But at the same time, I know damn well it's some back alley dealing going on around here somewhere down the line.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to be able to get out of this one, man. I think you would have been okay if you would have participated early, cooperated early. I think at the very least, he's coming out of this with two games, possibly three, and maybe four. Depending on what happens, what's said, how much cooperation he says, how much contrition he shows. Speaking of Brady, that is. I think he's in trouble, man. They caught him up.
Yes.
And they lied about it. That's the big thing, because the real infraction was not really that big deal, but you're going to, you know, not participate. And I really think, to be honest with you, just listening to it, the whole thing to me was slightly a sham, not against Brady, but for Brady. Here's what I say this. When you hear Ted Wells say, hey, listen, we need you to give us the text messages. I don't even want your phone. I don't even want to take possession of your phone. If this is what he said, just tell me or showed me the text that you, you know, that are pertinent to this case, and you know, I'll take a look at it. I'll take your word for it. He didn't even want his phone. He could have sent him anything. He didn't show him anything. So to me, that was Goodell putting his guard like, hey, okay, I'm trying to, you know, we're gonna look into it, but we really ain't gonna look into it. He can show me anything.
Yep.
So now, no, you say no. Look, Roger, I said he can show anything. We got X, Y, and Z on his man's and them over here. You know, now I just told him he can show me anything. Now he told me he ain't gonna show me nothing. He ain't showing nothing. They ain't doing nothing. Like, well, damn. Damn. Well,
right there. So, the thing is, his arrogance cost him. That's his arrogance cost him right there. You know what I'm saying? The golden boy that everybody love. I'm going to tell you like this, man. You know, shit. You got to, every once in a while, you got to understand. You will and can be caught. You know what I'm saying? They ain't going to ask them questions unless they have something on you. You know what I'm saying? NFL is just like your woman. You know what I'm saying? She ain't going to ask no questions until she actually got some evidence. You know? He's suspicious to the truth. You know, it might be easier, you know, if you just, you know, fess on up and be cool with it. If not, you got hell to pay. And this is what happened. I seriously think they shouldn't take it easy on him.
Are you there? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm saying, yeah. Let's keep it on the football. What's going to happen now with New England in terms of Brady being out four games, them losing Revis, them losing Browner, them losing Arrington, their three top cornerbacks? What's going to happen with them? Are they a contender, pretender? Do they still dominate that division?
I'm going to tell you about that division. That division has gotten better. I keep telling you that over and over again. I keep telling you. I send the praise of the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins, and the Jets is even making it come up. This division is wide open. It's no longer the Patriots division right now. Okay? I'm looking at Miami to do some things. Buffalo got them a good running back. They made a lot of good moves. So I'm going to tell you that. With them four games being suspended right now, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. It won't be like before. It won't be like New England's division and then everybody else is there like 8-8. You know, 7-9, whatever. You're going to have everybody going like 10-6. You're going to have some top-notch football going on. So I look out for that division over there. I think the Buffalo Bills will come out of that. I think it's this year. This is their year. They got a good running game over there. Receivers, everything else. How you even quarterback play?
Buffalo Bills every week. Every week you say Buffalo Bills. Let's keep it moving on. Let's talk about they need a quarterback, man, before they do anything, but – Let's talk about some other storylines going on, man, in the AFC. Because with New England kind of having some problems on the outside and possibly with Brady, and you got Denver getting a little bit older. Does Denver still have enough, man, to make a run for a Super Bowl? You got Peyton Manning getting up there in age. We got a couple good personnel losses with Julius Thomas and Wes Welker. Can they still make a run over there?
I mean, they can make a run because San Diego San Diego. You know, they got a running back. I will give them that. They went out and got a running back. I'm proud of them. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they're aging like hell over there. Your boy Antonio Gates, man, had found a fountain of youth last year. But, you know, like I said, it's San Diego. You know what I'm saying? If they have that physical power and, you know, smack you in the mouth with your ass type of team, hey, that's what's up. You know what I'm saying? They can do their thing. If they get to the Stanek style or whatever, there ain't going to be nothing. You know what I'm saying? Kansas City, yeah, they improved, but it's still Kansas City. The Raiders, I ain't got nothing else to say. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's the Raiders. So, yeah, I'm looking at I'm looking at Denver and San Diego to battle for that division right there. You know, that's about it. That division, I don't see them representing the Super Bowl, anybody from that division. That division does not scare me. That division is a watered-down division. Basically, it's just the best of the crap. So, go from there.
I'm not going to say that's the best of the crap. I think it's a pretty good team, though. You named three of them, Kansas City, San Diego, and Denver, all the playoff teams were right outside of it. I think they all have great records. Matter of fact, I would almost bet you can go put this in the phone or archive. Them teams will have a better record than the AFC East teams possibly will. But I digress. Let's talk about your Indianapolis Colts, who you love like to death. Love them to death,
yep.
man. They got five or six wide receivers now who can catch it and go get it. They added Frank Gore. They got Luck. Who going to play defense?
Don't get the tight ends. Don't get the tight ends. Don't get them tight ends they got over there. They got a pair of ballers over there now.
Yeah, the player and the other guy. Who's gonna stop somebody though? Who's gonna play defense over there, man? They got a defensive coach.
They got a serviceable defense over there.
Well, they play
serviceable. I guarantee you. Yeah, they got a serviceable defense.
Is it Super Bowl worthy though? Can they go to? Can they win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I remember right now. This is the today's NFL. Today's NFL is set up for the offenses to excel, to put up points, to try to get people in to put their fans in the stands and all that crap. They don't need no powerful dominating defenses no more. Remember, that's what everybody keeps saying. That's what you hear. The NFL nowadays is supposed to be high scoring and all that type of crap. I'll tell you like this, man. Coach,
what did you see in the Super Bowl last? What did you see in the Super Bowl?
I mean, you saw Seattle and New England. The first quarter was a defense of beauty. It was a thing of defense. Then the fireworks went off. The offense was an explosion. But that first quarter, that's something I like. You know what I'm saying? Ground and pound, do your thing, and let's ball. That's me. You know what I'm saying? But people don't like that. Remember, I'm old school. Remember, we play football. This is what people that play football like to see. Like, you know what I'm saying? They like that type of stuff. Other cats that, you know, they're trying to appeal to, they don't like that. They want to see Stafford throw for 5,000 yards, and he ain't been shit since. So you know what I'm saying? They want to see that type of stuff. So I think Indianapolis, they will win their division. They will go, you know, if they made some adjustments in the draft to get some key components. And I think, you know, look out for them. You know, they will be representing up in there. Now, the powerhouse division is Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. That's where your Super Bowl chance might be. I mean, Super Bowl contenders might be coming out of that division in my eyes.
Yeah, I agree with you because those guys, I mean, you're talking about three very, very good teams. Pittsburgh is going to be good. Baltimore is going to be solid. Cincinnati is going to be playoff style. Cleveland is going to be shaky, but improved.
Yeah, you got a quarterback. That's a team without a quarterback.
Yeah, they're looking for a quarterback, looking for a couple of receivers, too. With that being said, let's talk about Pittsburgh, though. Let's talk about them having to basically restructure, rebuild their whole defense. They even lost their coordinator, Dick LeBeau. He's no longer there. Keith Butler's taking over, a long-time assistant, but Troy Polamalu is no longer there. Ike Taylor is no longer there. Casey Hampton is no longer there. Amari Whitley's been going for a while from over there. They had a surprise. I forgot the linebacker's name. It escapes me right now, who played outside linebacker for them. I think he was their leading sacker or the second leading sacker, the outside linebacker. He retired this season. So they're kind of hurting over there defensively. They've done a lot of drafting over the years, though, to try to kind of help them out. Do you think they can rebuild that defense and still be a contender? Don't forget about Le'Veon Bell's three-game suspension over there as well.
Three-game suspension, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, that's a team right here that I root for them every year because, you know, they're so close and everything else. I like the coach. I think I feel like this. Just because you don't win that division, that doesn't mean you don't make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm going to say because they made a few key draft picks, which was needed for them, put them in a better position, even though a couple of guys retired after they drafted. I'm going to say it like this. I think they will become second place in that division. Like I said, that doesn't mean they won't make the playoffs because even the first three have been to the playoffs in that division a couple of times. So what I'm saying is this. I think once the season goes on and some of that young talent gets some experience, you know, because after your third or fourth game, you're no longer really a rookie because right now they're learning the defense, then they got the preseason, then the first game, real game jitters and everything else. After that, you know, they get into their own. I think that that'd be a solid team over there on defense again. Like you said, they did lose a defensive coordinator, but at the same time, the person that came up was somebody that's been in the defense for a long time, knows the defense, and not really missing a beat. You know, so he's been underneath the defensive corner. So I think that transition will be smooth enough for them to go ahead and do the damn thing over there.
Well, let me ask you this, man. A couple things, a couple newsworthy things. The extra points, man, are being moved back, man, to the 15-yard line. So
yeah, man.
You think that's going to have a big effect?
It will, but here's my thing, dog. I just want to be proud of these cats doing with football. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave the NFL the hell alone. All these rules that you're making, you're messing up the damn game. Every time you make a rule, you take something away that we grew up on and loved because you want to appeal to, I don't know, the women and the other crap. I'm tired of that, man. Who cares? If women don't like it, hey, man, sit them down. And the women are there, the ones that know the football anyway, so they like the rules as it is. Stop trying to appeal to everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I want people to get hurt. But damn it, it's football. That's the name of the game. That's a damn sport. We all played it. We got messed up from it. And that's how it go. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear all these rules that they're making. Moving it back 15 yards for what? Extra point is reward for getting a touchdown. So now you're going to have a lot of people going for 2 points because it's going to be further away, especially when your field goal kicker is suspect. And now you got more chance of getting hurt because they're about to go for 2 points versus more of a play. So all that stuff they're talking is double talk. Every time they say they're making rules doing something like this, it's a double standard. And to be your boy over there from the Patriots, spare leading the pack on change the rules and everything else for some shit he can benefit off of.
Hey, exciting. More 2 point conversion makes the game more exciting, man. Be more focused on
really, more people going to get hurt. But more people want to get hurt. That's why they want to get rid of kickoffs and punts because they thought people were going to get hurt. So now you're going to make a 2 point conversion. Think about it. More important, there's more collisions on a 2 point conversion is than it is on a field goal. Everybody knows that, and on an extra point.
They want to make money.
That's it is. I'd rather them come out and tell me, hey, look, y'all, we really don't give a damn about these cats' livelihood, and we really don't give a damn about them getting hurt. We just want to make this show. So we're gonna spruce up, mess up a few rules, and then make it so it can be more exciting to appeal to a few people that don't know shit about football, and and go from there.
I don't think, you know, to be honest with you, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It is a big deal. Because every rule, it's a rule. Every rule that comes out messes up the NFL. Look at 3 years ago.
Hey.
NFL 3 years ago from now is a joke. You can't
the game evolves, man. It's not going to be the same forever.
The game evolves, but listen, I understand about an evolving game. We both can say we understand about an evolving game. But let the game evolve. Don't change the game to make it a piece of shit product. Because you're going to have fans, the ones that are supporting it, it's going to be like the hell's NFL. I'd rather watch college because they don't change those rules like that. The problem is, the fact is you can't really hit somebody without it being a penalty. You're trying to protect the offensive player so much, but you're going to start putting the defensive player at risk. So now that you're playing corners and deep tackles and everybody else, millions of dollars, just like you do receivers and running backs. Are you going to start making it now so they can't hit Anderson Wiles? I'm going to be like, what the hell are we playing here?
Okay. All right. That's good. We're going to keep it moving. Quick note, Minnesota says, head coach says the AP basically has two options. He can play for us or he can not play at all this year. Basically,
he has a $250,000 bonus
if he attends 90% of the OTAs. And 90% of the minicamp. They have a minicamp and a mandatory minicamp June 16th through the 19th. What do you think about that statement, man? Strong statement.
That was disrespectful. That was a strong statement. That was disrespectful. That's something that if you're going to do it, you talk about it, keep it in house. You ain't got to go to the media about that. That shows, that's telling everybody else, his teammates and everybody else that's going to play for this man, that we really don't give a damn about you in the situation you was in before, prior to, that we, it's that, it's disrespectful. It's a move that should have been made. And the coach himself should be ashamed of himself for doing that right there. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to put that out there, man. Put him out there on blast like that. Tell him he's going to play for us, so sit his ass down. Come on, man. Really? That's child type talk right there, man. You don't do that.
Hey, well, I didn't have a problem with it at all.
I did. That's wrong.
Disrespectful
rule.
Can I speak now? Thank you so much.
Go ahead, my brother.
Again, I don't think it's wrong. This guy's come out and said where he would like to play, who he'd like to play for. He don't think that he's been respected by the organization. All this stuff. He said all this stuff in the media. All that stuff that you like and that you wanted to hear as a fan could have been kept in house, and he just could have been like, we don't know why you're holding out. You know, there's some differences there. But yeah, he went to the media, and told them some stuff. Then he said he want more guaranteed money, even though he's getting paid more money than anybody is at the running back position. Now he wants guaranteed money and all this other stuff that he's put out in the media. Come on, man. Guys say, bow out. We're not trading. That's basically what they said. We're not trading. So you can play here or you can sit out here.
Here's the thing, man. The organization turned their back on him anyway when all the allegations and everything else happened. Yeah, they did.
Back on him, he would have cut him. Ask Ray Rice.
I understand that. At first they were saying that they didn't really want to mess with him. That was their first thing at first. I mean, we ain't going to mess with him. Woo-woo-woo. Talked all that hardcore shit about him. Now, when he got reinstated, now they tell him that he can't go nowhere.
If you work for your job right now, if something pops off, somebody in your organization may say, you know what? He slapped the guy here. He choked the guy here. Da, 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 da. I don't want to mess with him. Those conversations may happen. Everybody's not going to be in your corner. And then the big deal, to be truthful with you, I don't even think it even comes down to how he feels. When you say you want more money, at first it was all about how your feelings. Now it's like, well, I want somewhere, I feel secure.
Maybe that could be a tactic that he's using right there to get them to trade him up out of there.
Man, listen, they said they're not trading.
The NFL do people so dirty. You said it yourself. Hey, when you get hurt, hey, yeah. Bye, bounce. See, it's done with you. So maybe he's just using to get him
hurt.
Is
he hurt? Is he hurt?
No.
Did he get cut? Why? Did he get cut?
No, he didn't get cut. Because what happened was, I guarantee you one thing, if those two running backs would have been serviceable last year, they wouldn't give a damn about AP right now. That's the reality of this whole situation right now. If those running backs were something special or anything else, AP, they would have been trading him to the Cowboys and said, but they realize those two running backs are working with people and they don't have no offense, and that's what they got to have. They got to ride this workforce. Now, mind you, they don't have no other running backs. They don't have no receivers. They don't have nothing. Minnesota. They're going to ride AP into the ground. That's what they're going to do. So, yeah, he's going to want more money. You know what I'm saying? He knows they're going to do that to him.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say this. He has the best team he's ever played with pretty much right now. He's got a quarterback. He's got multiple receivers. He's got all-pro linemen. He's got the best team he's going to play with, the best supporting cast he's going to play with right now. Speaking of that, we're going to roll right to our next thing, our stock up, stock down, as we delve into the fantasy world a little bit. And when you said AP, I had him as my stock up running back. For the simple fact that, again, he's got Mike Wallace at wide receiver. I know you didn't know they had him. Charles Johnson at wide receiver, the guy from Grand Valley who developed into a solid receiver last year. Cordarrelle Patterson at wide receiver. They also have Kyle Rudolph at tight end. They also have Mike Khalil, who's an all-pro left tackle, at tackle. A couple of solid guards, Ted Bridgewater at quarterback. They have a solid. This is the best nucleus he's had in 10 years.
And I guarantee he's still riding to the ground. But I never get. I'm listening. I'll wait and see.
Let's keep it moving. We done transition to stock up, stock down on the fantasy, man. That was my running back. I run through mine. And I'll let you run through yours, man. My stock up at quarterback, I'm going Russell Wilson, man. He received Jimmy Graham in the trade. He got all his wide receivers back healthy, and they found him a big wide receiver in the Super Bowl who could help out. And I think he's a year older and he's more mature. I think they're going to use him, man, a lot more in the passing game and kind of, get a little bit more balance to their offense, man. My wide receiver, stock up, I'm going with no other than Emmanuel Sanders. He had a breakout year last year in Denver. He has no Julius Thomas at a tight end anymore, who moved on to Jacksonville, and no Wes Welker on the roster. You see him and Peyton already has a lot of chemistry last year. It's just him and Demaryius Thomas. You know, Demaryius Thomas is going to draw that number one receiver. I'm sorry, cornerback all the time. So I'm going to stock up my boy Emmanuel Sanders. Tight end. This was a tough one, man. There was a lot of mediocre tight ends out there. But I'm going to go with, step out on the limb, Martellus Bennett. If he don't get traded, him in Chicago, we know that Cutler likes his tight ends and likes to use them a lot. There's no more B. Marshall. So there's going to have to be another guy in the red zone that he's going to look to. I think Bennett could, you know, benefit from being in a red zone target and a secondary target until Kevin White becomes viable on the outside. They also have Alshon Jeffrey, who's going to draw coverage over the top, leaving him, you know, a lot of room underneath to make some plays. So that's my stock up. L, who you got stock up, man?
Hey, man, Russell Wilson's my stock up for the same reason. When they traded and got the tight end for New Orleans Saints. You know, said I was saying that was my stuck up for him because, I mean, he got a big receiver. We saw the Super Bowl, came alive, was a deep threat, able to go up and get the jump ball. You still got Lynch over there and resigned him back. So just because of the tight end play, I gave Russell Wilson a stock up. And he is a running quarterback as well. You know, said they're going to feed him and he can put up all types of ridiculous numbers. Another stock up was Demaryius Thomas. And I say that because Emmanuel Sanders had a breakout season last year, over 1,400 yards receiving. He's gonna draw more. He's gonna actually draw some more coverages as well over there. And so I think Demaryius Thomas, you know, even though he's the number one, that now the defense has to play him evenly. He's gonna get, and he has a physical style of play. He's gonna be better. Other stock up. Yeah, I know this is way off the wall right here. Okay, it is, and I'm not gonna sit here and just. I'm trying to sugarcoat this. So I'm gonna put your light to you like this. Okay. Stock up is a rookie that hasn't been in the NFL before, and I'm only saying this because he has the best place to come and dominate at. And I'm going to say this right now. Tevin Coleman is going to be one of my top five running backs, I'm telling you right now. You know what I'm saying? Because he's going to Atlanta Falcons, two dog receivers out there, good quarterback play, offensive line that got even stronger. The tight end play is questionable. But outside of that, you know, I think he's going to be a beast.
Do you know who the top five running backs are, man?
Hey, man, I say he's right there on the border of my top five. I say the top five is right on the border. You got Lynch, Lacy, Charles, Bell, then Peterson. But I think Peterson is not going to be. I'm telling you right now, this right here with Peterson is going to be something we have to see how it plays out. He's going to be very disgruntled. I'm telling you, I don't see this playing out in a good way with them. McCoy. You know, so that's another running back that's right there in the top five, you know, right there on the border. You know what I'm saying? But you got to see how that, you know, how it's plays.
Yeah, end up naming Phil Jackson. That's right there now, near your top five. That's how you
hey,
do
man,
it.
Hey, man, I said right there on the border. I'm at the border, baby. I'm at the border. Let me do me.
Go ahead, man.
Another one that I said is going to be there, I say this because he lost his quarterback. His quarterback's going to be suspended for the first four games. I'm saying Gronkowski. I think right now he's going to be the hottest thing out there because the quarterback, any quarterback that comes in and plays for New England is going to throw to him consistently, often, all the time. He's going to get, I guarantee you, 35% to 40% or more of that offense for the simple fact that they're going to have to, you know, he's not, the quarterback play won't be comfortable with all the receivers.
Okay. Now go ahead and do your stock down, man.
This is one's gonna fool you. Drew Brees. I think his stock is falling. Lost, you know what I'm saying? I just don't think that he's gonna be that type of dominant player like he used to be anymore. Calvin Johnson is my receiver that's gonna be a stock down. I say it's because his level of play, we talk about this all the time. We look at his stock five, you know, normally he's a top five receiver. I don't see him as a top five receiver anymore. I see him like in the bottom 10, like 8 or 9, 10. Running back play, DeMarco Murray. I don't think he's going to be one of the top teams. He went from leading the league in rushing to being traded, and I don't think he's going to have that type of dominant performance last year. I think he barely rushes for like 1,100 to 1,200 yards. As far as tight end play, I didn't do it for tight end, sorry.
Okay. We had a lot of the same guys. He's just do a wide receiver.
And I said, your boy Calvin Johnson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, that's right, Calvin Johnson. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be the problem? What's going to be the problem with him?
Well, I would tell you like this. Even though Stafford's going to have some line and everything else, I don't see them utilizing Calvin Johnson like they did before. I don't think, even though they say they want to throw deep to him and all this stuff, throw a lot of jump balls, I think his offense is going to be a little bit more structured to the point that it's going to be more, they're going to take a couple home run shots with Calvin Johnson. I really think it's going to go more to Golden Tate, Lance Moore, as far as low percentage passes. I mean, high percentage passes, the short screens and everything else to see from there. I think they're going to concentrate more on his running game. And I don't think Calvin's going to put up, like, even though he fell off last year, his numbers wasn't the same last year. He's slowly declining with his abilities as far as his play on the field and everything else. And I think the offense is going to be set up now. I mean, they're going to make a couple of home run hits with him, but he won't be the focal point, like, just Calvin Johnson and that's it, of his offense no more. I think his offense is going to be more of a balance as far as running and passing, and the passing is going to be a split between Golden Tate, Calvin, Lance Moore, and some tight end players. It won't be all Calvin Johnson no more.
Let me get my stock down there, man. I said, you're going to get you him earned. You wrap it all up there. You quickly, brother, quickly. My stock down,
okay, my
man. I'm going to go at the running back spot. I agree with you on DeMarco Murray. I think it's a running back by committee. I'm going to go through another name out there as well. I think Mark Ingram is going to fall down a little bit as well. I know he's highly sought after, highly thought of, but they often use multiple running backs there. They still do have Pierre there as well. They might be a little bit more run-centric, which may help his value, but I'm not sold on him, and I think his health is going to be a big issue. Wide receiver-wise, I'm going to tell you, I think that Odell Beckham is going to be I'm not saying he's going to be weak or he's going to be fall off. I'm just saying that he's not going to be a top five or top six receiver where they have him at. He may be top 10, maybe somewhere in the top 15, 20, but I just think that he's a great player. But they also added Shane Vereen, who's a running back, but comes out of the backfield and catches a lot of balls. They have a good tight end in Larry Donnell over there, who catches a lot of balls. And they get Victor Cruz back from injury. All that being said, I don't even know if, you know, if Victor Cruz becomes the number one receiver over there, but I think he's a very viable number two receiver, and he's the guy who's going to, you know, take away a little bit of the numbers from this guy. And, you know, don't sleep. They have a bunch of running backs, Rashad Jennings, Andre Williams, and Vereen, who they're going to look at. And when it gets a little bit colder out there, they may look, you know, to run the ball a little bit. So I'm going with him. Stock down, unfortunately, a tight end, I'm going to go Jimmy Graham. I think he's still going to have a very, very solid year. I think he's going to still do what he does in terms of touchdowns. But I think it's just his targets and his opportunities are going to be a little bit lower. Seattle doesn't throw the ball around like, you know, like New Orleans. They have a couple other targets, even though I still think he's going to be a number one guy out there. But they got guys like Marshawn Lynch, who can vault your touchdowns, running the football, as well as some of the other receivers catching the ball. And you got Russell, who's going to run some in. So you definitely have to look at him being a little bit stocked down. I also had your boy Drew Brees as a stock down. I'm going to go a little bit further down, man. I'm going to say, man, Joe Flacco. A lot of people think he wins a lot of games. He's solid. But I think with him, man, he doesn't really he's very up and down in terms of his fantasy production. I think he's going to have some issues finding the number one receiver. You know, he does have Steve Smith over there. But now with, you know, with that Rashad Perriman kid, he's gonna, you know, he's got a lot of ability, but he's got to really show that he's really, really ready to play and can run the route tree. So I'm going to look at him as a guy who may still win some football games. They got a solid defense still, but somebody that you have to be a little bit skeptical of. Let's talk about, man, just some early things, man, as the season approaches, man. We're just getting really into it. What are some of the things, man, that you the trends or whatever that you're looking for, man, in terms of the fantasy drafts or positions and things of that sort?
Well, I want to see how this how the quarterback play as far as drafts goes this year come off the board. You know you got Aaron Rodgers, Luck, Manning, Wilson. But after that, I want to see where rounds they go
and everything else. Another thing, I want to look at these rookie running backs. I'm telling you, I think this is a class of back running backs that's going to excel. I am excited about this rookie class, this draft class coming up. I mean, you know, the, that's going to play. I think, you know, 4-5 of these cats are going to be content. I mean, going to contribute and have big numbers. You know what I'm saying? I am. This is the running back class this year. I think is going to redefine the NFL again with these backs just coming out. That's one thing I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Well, speaking of running backs, I'm going to tell you, it's a good class, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know. Like, Gurley looks to still to be, to me, the class of this class. And he's a guy who is healthy. Looks like he can definitely be a bell cow. Gordon looks good as well. I'm not going to lie about that. Gordon looks good as well. After that, though, you know, it's a little shaky. It's a little shaky in terms of the rookies. And because of the RBBC, running back by committee, man, that's kind of really, really hurting the value at running back. I look at it, I see like 10 running backs who are like really are their bell cows for their team. Then after that, I'm looking at 20 teams, 20 or so teams that have some type of variation of a running back by committee type situation. Out of those 20-plus teams, it's about 12 or 13 where I don't even know who's going to be the main contributor, who's going to be the change of pace back, who's going to be the third round, third down back, or if it's going to be a 50-50 split. So I got to figure all that out once I see the game. So with that being said, it just really puts a premium to me on the top running back. There's still going to be some talent. There's going to be some finds. There's going to be some guys who can do a couple different things for you. But I think instead of looking for a dominant rusher, and you may be able to find one or two of them. You may have a guy who can do something like the two guys did in Cleveland. But Terrence West had like 700 yards rushing, but then he had like 300 yards receiving and ended up having like a total 7 touchdowns. So, I mean, he didn't really have a great, great year overall, but when you put the numbers together, it ended up being 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. I'm like, okay, well, he did all right. You know what I mean? It's going to be more of that type stuff. So many running backs by committee, man. It's tough, man. So I'm putting a premium on the running back position. I'm sure you're going to find some guys down the line who can still play and produce, contribute. I think the wide receiver area is very, very deep. The top tier and the mid tier is pretty deep. So you can possibly, you know, wait on those guys possibly. Quarterback to me looks deep. After the top guys, I think that middle tier is kind of fat. There's probably about 8 to 10 guys that you can probably grab at that position who can help you win. Tight end, general suspects. You got Gronk, you got Graham. Olsen had a good year last year. Then after those three, it's kind of a crapshoot, man. And you close your eyes and throw a dart and hope for somebody who can at least give you 6-7 points a week, man. But it's interesting, man. This is my time of year. I'm interested in getting started. I know it's very, very early, man. I know we all got dreams of championships this year. If you thought about any of your team names, hell, or you just taking it slow right now?
No, I'm gonna keep it, you know, the same name. I ain't changing nothing. No, okay, you know, keep it successful.
Right. Yeah, you've been the same guy. You've been the same guy.
Ain't no change in my guy. You know what I'm saying? I do me.
Okay. Okay, I hear that, man. I hear that. Any other trends or things you're looking at, man?
No, basically that's it. Like I said, I'm impressed with this running back class. I want to see how they, you know, how the quarterbacks fall. And I also say this with like Rebell, you know, saying like last year we had running backs that were suspended and everybody else kind of passed on them, and then they came in and dominated. So people had, you know, a couple of great teams. Like your cousin had a hell of a team that nobody could really mess with. I give him, you know, props for that. Also, I want to see what these sleepers looking like, you know what I'm saying, as far as who's going to have a breakout year from what that's coming out. So, I mean, you know, it's the normal 10-inch offense and everything else. But the thing is now you look at what did the team that you're going to pick up do. Like, did they pick up some line to help the quarterback out? Yeah, what kind of receivers, you know, who got moved around? Did anybody move on to a better offensive fit system for them, you know? So, you know, there's things like that. You know, like you just said before, Graham went from being one of the top persons on the team to – much like a blend and fall in the middle of the pack.
Okay. Well, a bit of good news, man. I'm looking at the top 100 right now on NFL Network. Looks like DeAndre Levy is coming in at number 59, man. So that's good for him. Glover Quinn, I believe, was like number 88 or something. He made the top 100 list. So we had a couple, you know, a couple good defenders out here, man. It's going to be eager to see what these guys have going on out here this season. Any old
school? Make sure they just do it without Sue. You know, saying like the finish. You want to make sure that it wasn't because of Sue was there and this and this. I'm interested to see that with our Lions. You know, so I want to see if this defensive coordinator is as special as everybody say he is. Because you know, what I'm saying, they actually had an audacity to say that his defense is better than his last year without somebody like Sue. You know, saying which you know it could be. Yeah, honestly, it could be. But the thing, because, you know, he's going on his focus point, you can, you know, get everybody else involved. But my thing is, I want to see dominant. I want to see how they're going to sit there and let the front
man.
Four rush. I want to see if this guy's going to blitz often. You know, I want to see what the Lions really going to bring to the table. Because you know my thought process. I'm thinking they just want to go 8-8 to pass the 10 and then make moves next year.
I want to see winning football. I don't think there's no way in the world. I may be wrong, but I mean my thinking is they won't repeat last year's performance. They were an outstanding team last year, and it's just a lot of those guys are gone. Man, Sue's gone. That whole line is gone. I'm looking at the defense line right now. The whole line except for James Jones is gone, and inside. The whole defensive tackles is gone. So. It's not over. I'm not saying it's over by any means, but it's going to be hard, man. I still think not even the number. And let's realize, though, let's really put into context how good they were last year. They were the number two defense in the league, number one versus the run. They barely gave up 70 yards a game on the ground. If they are a top 10 defense, then I say good. Congratulations. Because I don't think they're going to be a top 10 defense. If they're somewhere between 10 and 15, I would say, okay, you know, we're solid. And then after that, then, you know, it is what it is. But I think if we're a top 10 defense, then they've, you know, they've accomplished something significant. That would be a heck of an accomplishment for them. So, I mean, where do you expect them to rank this year?
Defensively. I'm trying to say, I think they have a possibility to become a top 10. I'm thinking that, like I said, they did make moves to cover moves. So the biggest thing about our defense, which I love, our linebacker core is I believe, has gotten better this year only because that talent that wasn't playing played last year. You know what I'm saying? They got a lot of experience and depth, and the people that were hurt, they came back. And it's going to be open competition. So we got the best of the best at each position. So that's the one thing I'm going to love to see. I love that. I think our defense, we're going to rely a lot on that linebacker court. So I'm thinking we could be ranked in the top 10. I'm thinking we could be like a number 8. Or I'm thinking like a number 10. Or just, you know, we might just be 10. Right there, 10 or 11. Because I'm looking at some other teams that got better. Miami definitely got better. Buffalo got better. New England fell off. Seattle's better. I mean, that was going to be there.
That's
San Francisco
off, man.
Fell off.
You're not looking at the clock again. We're down to 10 seconds to go on the show. I want to thank everybody, man, for listening in. We'll check that out next week. Yeah, man, give them the last word, man.
Live it up, everybody. Live it up. Hey, if somebody told me so, y'all have a great day. Have a great life. Days are too short.
All right, y'all, we getting out of here with some of this J. Cole letting us down.
Freedom of jail, clips inserted. A baby's being born, same time a man is murdered. The beginning and end. As far as rap go, it's only natural. I explain my plateau and also what defines my name. Yeah, long live the idols, may they never be your rivals. Pop was like Jesus, Nas wrote the Bible. Now what you're about to hear is a tale of glory and sin. No, I beat my mentor and I let the story begin. I used to print out Nas raps and tape them up on my wall. My niggas thought they was words, but it was pictures I saw. And since I wanted to draw, I used to read them in awe. Then he dropped Steelmatic, rocked the cleanest for law. Fast forward, who'd have thought that I would meet him on tour? I'm earning stripes now, nigga, got Adidas galore.
Backstage, I took his hand, let him know that he's the man. When he said he was a fan, it was too hard to understand. No time to soak up the moment, though, because I was in the jam. Hov asking where's the record that the radio could play, and I was striking out for months, ninth inning, feeling fear. Gita under pressure, made the biggest hit of my career, but at first, that wasn't clear. Niggas had no idea. Dion called me when it dropped, sounding sad but sincere. Told me Nas heard your single when he hate that shit. Said, you the one, yo, why you make that shit? I can't believe I let Nas down. Damn, my heart sunk in my stomach, I can't believe I let Nas down. I got defensive on the phone, resentment was in my tone. Fuck it, long live the idols, may they never be your rivals. Pop was like Jesus, Nas wrote the Bible. Now what you about to hear to tell of glory and sin? No ID my mentor, now let the story begin. I couldn't help but think that maybe I had made a mistake. I mean, you made you owe me, dog. I thought that you could relate. But while I shot up the charts, you mean telling me that I was not up to par when I followed my heart? Granted, my heart was tainted by my mind and kept on saying, where's the hit? You ain't got none. You know Jay never put your album out without none. And dog, you know how come labels are archaic, formulated with their outcomes. They don't know, they just study the charts. Me, I study the shows, the fans study their hearts. I had a feeling I was chilling in this music we was spilling out. Would change lives forever, fuck the label, put it out. Friday Night Lights, Blue, that was classic number two. Now it seemed as if the Nas comparisons was coming true. Still no release date from the label, are they insane? Goose told me play the game to change the game, but on the way I let Nas down. Damn, I got no one to blame, I'm ashamed I let Nas down. But this is God's plan, you could never understand. Fuck it, long live the idols, may they never be your rivals. Pop was like Jesus, Nas wrote the Bible. Now what you about to hear is a tale of glory and sin. No ID my mentor, now let the story begin. I always believed in a bigger picture. If I can get them niggas to listen outside my core, then I can open the door, reintroduce them to honesty, show them that they need more. The difference between the pretenders and the Kendrick Lamars. And so I took the fall, like the son of the Lord on the cross, dying for that fake shit you niggas bought for the past decade. If I should pass, please let this be my last essay. Before I write from the heart, apologies to OGs for sacrificing my art. But I'm here for a greater purpose, I knew right from the start. I'm just a man of the people, not above but equal. And for the greater good, I walk amongst the evil. Don't cry, mama, this the life I choose myself. Just pray along the way that I don't lose myself. This is for the nigga that said that hip-hop was dead. I went to hell to resurrect it. How could you fail to respect it? Let Nas down. I got the phone call quietly. I'm on, dog. I let Nas down. Yeah. And on this flight, may I never lose sight. Fuck it. Long live the idols. May they never be your rivals. Pop was like Jesus. Nas wrote the Bible. Now what you just heard is a tale of glory and sin. No ID my mentor, now let the story begin.